Although considered by some to be one of the nation's great presidents, Ronald Reagan continues to provoke controversy, even mockery in some quarters. Here to explore the Reagan presidency is Talking History's Dennis Mihalik.
Thank you, Brian. In our final segment on significant presidential elections, we will look at the 1980 campaign that purportedly signaled the triumph of conservatism in national politics. Here to provide the historical perspective is Gil Troy, professor of history at McGill University and the author of See How They Ran, The Changing Role of the Presidential Candidate, published by Harvard University Press. Welcome, Professor Troy.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Well, let's start with your intriguing title, How Did They Run? What kind of a candidate was Carter in 1980?
Jimmy Carter was trying to run away from 4 years of difficulty, and he was running in many ways in a classic American style. What he was trying to do was inspire the people. What he was trying to do was reach out beyond the White House. He was playing a game that many presidents had played, trying to hide behind the White House while also reaching out from the White House.
Mm-hmm. And what about his opponent, Ronald Reagan?
Well, Ronald Reagan, in some ways, like Jimmy Carter, was trying to be somewhat presidential, was trying to show that he was a man above the people. Many of Ronald Reagan's handlers were trying to avoid him speaking too often because he did have this unfortunate tendency to say things that, like, air pollution comes from trees and things like that. And they felt that if Ronald Reagan could just kind of keep reasonably quiet and let Jimmy Carter continue running around like a maniac, then Carter would lose the race and Reagan would be able to become president.
Mm-hmm. Now, actually, in 1980, it was a three-cornered race as we got a Republican rebel in the field.
As John Anderson, I think, kind of anticipating what we've seen 15 years later with Ross Perot and the rise of a new form of electorate where people feel that they're frustrated, they feel that they're not getting the right answers from either of the two conventional parties, John Anderson, who had been a Republican moderate, who had been a rock-ribbed Republican for 20 years, left the party after being very popular in the primaries by being somewhat contrarian and ran. And the great fear, of course, among the Republicans was that he would hurt Reagan. But in many ways, he took a lot of votes from Carter because he gave liberals who were unhappy with Carter and who were fearful of Reagan a place to go to.
Mm-hmm. Now, Ross Perot, of course, was exceedingly wealthy and virtually financed his own campaign. How was Anderson able to mount a third-party run?
Anderson started in the primaries by being that Republican who was willing to go in front of the gun nuts and say, I'm for gun control. And it was a kind of a media push. It was not at all a well-financed push. And he became such the media darling that he started this independent party, and he constantly had funding problems. And in fact, the big push for him by the end, when it was quite clear that he was going to lose, was to get a minimum of 5% of the vote so that public financing would kick in. And it seemed to have secured his financial health at least for another couple of years.
Mm-hmm. Well, in this race, what were the basic campaign issues?
The fundamental issue really was a referendum on Jimmy Carter, had Jimmy Carter succeeded or failed. Remember, the 1970s had been very difficult for America. Ronald Reagan was running against the high inflation, the energy crisis, and the Iranian hostage crisis. And in many ways, it came down to the question that Ronald Reagan posed at the debate, which is, are you better off than you were 4 years ago? And Reagan was saying that the American people feel the resounding answer is no, and that clearly it was Jimmy Carter's fault.
Mm-hmm. So then, would you say that that it was Carter's race to lose?
The interesting thing was that Jimmy Carter never anticipated that Ronald Reagan would give him a run for his money. He completely underestimated Ronald Reagan, but in many ways it was much more Carter's loss than Reagan's win. Reagan, as I said, was often passive, was often handled by his people to keep away from hot controversies, and he was basically banking on the fact that as long as he didn't come across as the right-wing extremist that many people feared he was, as long as he didn't come across as the boob that many people feared he was, they would feel comfortable sticking with him and not going with Jimmy Carter, who, after 4 years in the White House, had quite a reputation as being somewhat of a bumbler, somewhat ineffectual, and also his mean streak, which had been kept in check for the first couple of years, seemed to be emerging in those very difficult years of 1979, 1980. So yes, in many ways, it was much more Carter's loss than Reagan's win.
Mm-hmm. But then on the flip side, Reagan did win. Why do you think he won?
Reagan won because he offered a kind of answer to many of the challenges of the 1960s and the 1970s, but he didn't do it in a way that Barry Goldwater had tried in 1964 with a conservatism that was aggressive. Ronald Reagan offered conservatism with a smile. Ronald Reagan was indeed very conservative, was deeply committed to a critique of the liberalism that had been so important in the 1960s and 1970s, but he also did it in a way that had an affable style, that used his Hollywood celebrity that had built up over decades to make the whole conservative movement seemed much more acceptable. And the other thing that was going on was that many Americans were really frustrated, and they were saying, we need a different approach. Big government is strangling us. We don't have the money we used to have, that our dollar is corroding in value. Where are we going to turn? And Ronald Reagan said, I have the answers. I'm going to bring you back to an America of the 1930s and 1940s, an America of faith, an America of self-confidence, an America that can stare down any issue, be it inflation at home, be it big government, be it the Soviet Union, or be it Iran. We're going to bring back pride to America. And that was a message that in some ways did resonate with the American people.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so then we're talking about these American voters in particular and this message. I mean, which groups of people voted for Ronald Reagan and why?
Ronald Reagan was the pastor at a shotgun marriage between a whole group of people, starting from the extreme right. He was able to bring in right-wingers who had often felt very alienated from even mainstream Republican politics. He was able to take advantage of the fact that starting in the late 1970s, there was this new group on the scene, the Moral Majority, led by Jerry Falwell, that were bringing in the Christian fundamentalists, and he definitely appealed to them. He sang their song. But because Ronald Reagan was able to play to his right while also keeping people at least in the center happy, he was able also to bring in a group of intellectual neoconservatives who were worried about the Soviet Union. He was able to appeal to the normal mainstream white-gloved conservatives who lived in small towns across America who wanted normal leadership. He was able to bring in the corporations, and also the key group in some ways that he was able to make inroads in also was the what they called the Roosevelt Democrats. Working class, blue-collar, heavily Catholic, Northeasterners who had been central to the Roosevelt coalition and now felt that the Great Society of Lyndon Johnson had been a failure. Jimmy Carter wasn't giving the leadership they wanted to, and Ronald Reagan was able to bring enough in to create this very difficult and quite wide-ranging coalition.
Mm-hmm. Now, you talk about Roosevelt and those Democrats, and of course, in the 1932 election, historians write about a Roosevelt revolution that created a new coalition of voters that then dominated American national politics. And there are historians that argue that this is what Reagan did, and they use the terminology Reagan Revolution. Do you think there was a Reagan Revolution?
I think the Reagan Revolution occurred more in the mind than in the body politic. And what I mean is that Ronald Reagan came into office, even with his coalition, even the fact that he had been able to make inroads into the Roosevelt coalition, even though the fact that he had been able to link this far-right and at least center-left group, the fact is that if you look at his public opinion polls right after the election, he has the lowest public approval rating of any president-to-be in American history, or certainly since they began polling in the 1930s. What's going on? He's definitely won because of the backlash against Jimmy Carter, but the genius of Ronald Reagan and his advisors in the first couple of weeks is that they were able to turn a bare minimum victory into a revolution. What they did was by talking about their mandate. They were obviously aided by the frustration with Carter. They were aided by the fact that also a number of very prominent liberal senators like Birch Bayh, George McGovern, Frank Church had gone down to defeat, and they were aided by Ronald Reagan's charisma and his vision, and those three elements together were able to create what in many ways was an illusion of this Reagan Revolution, an illusion of this mandate for change. And Reagan spent the first year in his office pushing this notion of a mandate for change and, in a sense, created the reality.
Mm-hmm. Did Reagan succeed in creating a new coalition of voters to sustain Republicans in office?
Reagan gets a B-minus in that. That was definitely one of his intentions, and there's a lot of talk about the 1980s, a critical realignment in the wake of, you know, like 1932, like 1896, and he had some successes. He came in with the first Republican Senate in three or four decades, but the House didn't go Republican until 1994 with the Contract with America, and what we've seen is, in many ways, and the key moment in some ways comes in 1984, when Ronald Reagan is running for re-election, and he can either make it a very ideological contest and really try to shake up the Democratic House, or he can give what he ultimately did, which was a Morning in America campaign focusing on warm, fuzzy feelings and not really expend the political capital to forge a new kind of coalition. And so at the end of the day, I think we see that Reagan was part of a rightward drift, but not this focused coalition in the same way that Roosevelt had been able to build a coalition in 1932.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, when we look at the Reagan presidency, what were his accomplishments then?
I sometimes compare Ronald Reagan to James Knox Polk. James Knox Polk came in the 1840s, and he had three goals. Ronald Reagan came in the 1980s, and he had three goals. He wanted to cut taxes, he wanted to deregulate and shrink big government, and he wanted to boost the national defense. And he believed that those three would create a resurgence of American pride. And in many ways, he succeeded, or at least made dramatic progress, in those three areas, and certainly in his major area. And I think his major accomplishment was bringing a new kind of pride back to America, of singing a song that was about American pride, that was about the American future. He did indeed cut taxes, although the taxes by the end had also started to creep up with all his user fees and his non-taxing taxes. He did start a trend of deregulation and shifted the tone, and I think we see this very much with Bill Clinton, who embraced, in many ways, Ronald Reagan's notion, and Bill Clinton is the one who said the era of big government is over, but that began with Ronald Reagan, and he was at least able to stop the government from growing at the same rate that it had, and he certainly put a lot of money into boosting the American Defense Forces. So that's what he cared about, and those are the things where you could see Ronald Reagan deeply engaged. There are a whole bunch of other issues that many other people cared about that Ronald Reagan simply didn't care about and ignored.
Mm-hmm. Well, were there Reagan failures then?
There certainly were Reagan failures. I think Ronald Reagan's biggest failure was an inability, even as he was making more Americans proud, even as he was kind of revitalizing the American center, even as he was playing to 60% of the people, to reach out to the people on the margins. It's very strange, because when you look at the 1980s, on the one hand, blacks continue to make progress, women continue to make progress, there's a lot of progress on the civil rights agenda, and yet blacks, women, other people leave the 1980s feeling deeply, deeply marginalized, deeply, deeply alienated. And I think Ronald Reagan's failure to offer symbolic leadership to those people who weren't necessarily part of his coalition, the fact that Reagan's presidency was very inspiring for 60%, but was deeply polarizing overall to the nation, I think is one of his great failures.
Mm-hmm. Well, if we take a balance then of these accomplishments and of these failures, in the 2 minutes we have remaining, what would you say is likely to be Reagan's historical stature as an American president?
Ronald Reagan claims credit for being the one who helped win the Cold War, and he certainly gets a lot of kudos, although I think he has to share that with the other Democrats and Republicans who were on the watch from the 1940s on. I think that, you know, Ronald Reagan, in recent years, it seems more and more people are realizing that he did offer a model of presidential leadership, he did offer a model of American pride, and he should get a lot of credit for that. I think the fact that he ends up his life with Alzheimer's has led people to be a little softer and kinder to him, but in almost a disrespectful way. I think people have now started to underestimate just how effective he was as a leader and how on top of things he was, because they assumed that he was, you know, losing his marbles somewhere along the line. And I think it's better to actually look back to the 1980s and see the degree to which he was a galvanizing force. And I think historians have to do a lot of work in trying to understand just how he succeeded as a leader and appreciate the fact that for all his flaws, he also did give a lot of good things to the United States people.
Okay. Well, I want to thank our guest, Professor Gil Troy, author of See How They Ran, The Changing Role of the Presidential Candidate, published by Harvard University Press.